Springfield's Talk 104.1 and a good Thursday morning, friends. My name is Nick Reed. We've got showers heading our way. A look at the KTTS First Alert forecast coming up. Author of the week today, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. This is, we've done this author, it may have been several, but he is back in the area and he's going to be doing a book signing at ABC Books. So we wanted to revisit with him. He was a great interview, I remember. We actually had him in studio that day. Got some great audio. The governor of Florida, Florida was a state that we were all warned was essentially going to kill us all, particularly, and I remember this, and you wonder, spring break is open, like, what are they doing? They're insane. And not so much because, they're all going to magically get it there and spread it everywhere else, but you had tons of people coming from states like New York, for example, which was a hotbed, into Florida. And all these young people from all over the country coming in to Florida. And, like, you are insane. People were angry about how Florida was going to cause this huge explosion. Well, the opposite has happened for whatever reason. You could talk about that all day long. But the media continues to nail away at the governor of Florida from this position of what a horrible decision that was. And he's just at his wit's end because none of these bad things have happened. In fact, they have some of the lowest death rates and the lowest rates of people being hospitalized and everything in the entire country. And so he's just, as you can imagine, very frustrated because the questions that he gets asked in these exchanges with the media they have nothing to do with reality. And he kind of lets him have it yesterday. Mike Pence, he's been down in Florida. They went out to a restaurant. They ate hamburgers and endangering everyone, I suppose. Much to do this fine Thursday morning. Don Luzader is here, and he has our latest news update.
I do. Good morning. The city of Springfield is relaxing some of the restrictions on its road to recovery order just in time for Memorial Day weekend. Phase 2 includes increased occupancy for entertainment venues and museums, church services, weddings, and funerals. Non-contact sports are now allowed, and there are no limits on how many people can be at a playground. Pools can also open, but with limited occupancy. Now, Phase 2 runs from May 23rd through June 14th. We have all the details and what's allowed and not allowed at KSGF.com. Speaking of pools, the Springfield Greene County Park Board will reopen its indoor pools at Chesterfield and Doling Family Centers on Saturday. Capacity of both of those pools will be limited. Social distancing will be expected from guests. Now, the outdoor pools operated by the city will not begin to open until early July.
And I think that it will be at least mid-July before they discuss whether or not kids are going to be allowed to have fun at the swimming pools. They haven't decided that yet. If that will be banned all summer or if partially through the summer, they will allow that to start happening.
Well, they have to have it by Labor Day. They have to start allowing kids to have fun at schools because then the pools will start to close because it'll be the end of summer.
Yes, that would
so
be.
So at some point, they have to allow them to have fun, I would think, anyway.
A bit of a bittersweet.
Yeah. Now, the reason, by the way, that the city pools are not going to be opening until early July is because they've not been able to get lifeguards trained because of all the rules and requirements because of COVID-19, social distancing. It's tough to train lifeguards. So,
right.
So they're going to have to get that done. And, Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium in Springfield plans to reopen on Saturday. It's been closed for more than 2 months because of COVID-19. When it does reopen, hey, guess what? New social distancing and sanitation practices will be in effect. That is the latest news.
You know, there is a lot of focus on the sanitation and of course, a lot of stores that were open 24 hours. One of the reasons they gave for closing overnight was so that they could go through and sanitize everything. And now the CDC, they've updated on their site information about how it's transferable. And they're really downplaying that sort of transfer.
Like, contact services.
Yeah. Contact services, you don't really have to worry about.
Yeah. As everyone for months now has spent time wiping down everything in sight.
Yeah, it's just, and I know you say, what do you do? And some people are like, well, we'll just do whatever they say and just, you know, because maybe they're right, maybe they're not. What else are we going to do? But you can't blame people for getting to the point where they start to dismiss this stuff because it changes all the time. And what once upon a time we were told whether they're masks, they're no good, to all of a sudden, yes, they are. And then, well, they are under certain circumstances, gloves. Sometimes in some circumstances, they're worse than not having anything at all. And I remember this, on metal, it lasts for 5 days, and on cardboard, it could last. And now the CDC's, never mind. It's really, you don't need to worry about that much. All right. I guess I'll go licking doorknobs again.
We kind of follow things blindly sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, some of us do. The rest of us are what they call pains in the butt.
Are you one of those POBs?
I don't know. I like that POB.
Yeah.
Get that tattooed somewhere.
Nick Reed, POB.
Thank you, sir. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. A 20% chance of showers this afternoon. Partly sunny, high of 74. Slight chance of showers, thunderstorms down to 60 overnight. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely early in the day, a high near 80. And Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 83. Current temperature, 57, mostly cloudy. I've got audio I'm going to play later in the program talking about the oh-so-kind leaders of Springfield and Greene County. Are allowing some additional freedoms to exist. You know what Clay Goddard of the county said? I kid you not. He said, we got to do it sometime. We might as well reward people by allowing things to open up for the holiday weekend. To reward the people. What? What is this standard that they are using? What is this matrix that they use? We've been under the impression that this was to save our lives, but now reopenings are based on how good our behavior is, and we're going to be rewarded as good little servants. So okay, you've been good and listened to us. So it's not about safety; it's about rewarding us. I was shocked that those words came out of his mouth. I wasn't shocked that that's the attitude mentality, but that they actually said it out loud at a press conference. Here's Parker Pageant. He's got traffic for us. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. You got to have somebody on your side when it comes to selling your home. Why not Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate? You know, a lot of realtors, they get into it to make a little extra money, a little side gig. That's cool. That's fine. They're just going to operate a little bit differently than Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. It is her 100% full-time passion. And, again, people operate differently. Some people have these really big teams because they get big and they get real well-known. And so you have a lot of different people at your disposal. And, sometimes that may be what you're looking for, but if you're looking for that direct link, that direct line to the person, then Emily Johnson is your route. When you pick up the phone, you're not getting some assistant or someone else that says, let me check with Emily and I'll get back with you, because you are talking with Emily Johnson from beginning to end and everything in between. If that's what you're looking for when it comes to selling your home, then Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate is the gal to go with. 890-1455 is her number. And I recommend you find and like her on Facebook. That way, when you do need to get a hold of her, you don't have to remember her number. You can just go there, find all her contact info. That's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Now, there was an election that took place that you may not have known about. It was in Virginia. Staunton, Virginia, Staunton, Virginia. And this is a council that has, it's one of these, it's Democrat, why even bother running as a Republican? Well, three of the Democratic members of the council were ousted by Republicans Tuesday, despite receiving more votes than they did 4 years ago, because the turnout against them was so overwhelmingly massive. Republican candidates Mark Robertson, Amy Darby, and Steve Claffley all joined incumbent Andrea Oakes in a 4-seat GOP sweep, according to WHSV-TV. The three incumbent council members replaced, or incoming rather, council members replaced Democratic incumbent Eric Curran, Opfi Kyer, and James Harrington, all almost doubling their vote totals from 2016, yet they still lost. Local outlet Augusta Free Press reporter Chris Graham called the results, quote, stunning almost beyond words, end quote. One of these individuals was the vice mayor of the council and had been there, I think, almost 20 years. These aren't people that just kind of got in on a fluke in the last round of elections. These people have been on there for numerous cycles. Graham wrote, Democrats got their vote out better than they have in a May cycle in years, but Republicans got turnout more akin to not quite a presidential year, but approaching gubernatorial. Gun control legislation in the state, as well as coronavirus lockdown, is attributed to the key of massive turnout against the Democrats. Now, this is a local race, and so it's easy to dismiss. But we know. This is why I bring it up, one of the reasons. If this were some Republican stronghold city council, and you had long-term Republicans in there, and you had an overwhelming anti-Republican turnout, and the number one reason cited was because of lack of gun control laws and because Republicans weren't shutting things down enough, this would be a huge news item. We would hear about this as a snapshot of middle America. Now, these are just average everyday people, and this is a great reflection of, you know, how the rest of America may be feeling. And to see such a sentiment turn against one political party in this context should be very, very, very worrisome for the president of the United States. Now, of course, it's the other way around. And so you hear nothing. This is an area, there were a few stories I grabbed on this. But one of the other things that was noteworthy is this particular area voted for, Obama twice, overwhelmingly, Hillary Clinton, Terry McAuliffe as governor, Ralph Northam, and even gave a solid majority to Jennifer Lewis in her 2018 congressional run against Ben Klein. So point being is that is an area that generally votes overwhelmingly Democrat, whether it was Obama or Hillary Clinton, so forth, but this massive switch taking place. And one of the reasons that it is so noteworthy is because this isn't an area where it's generally close, but Democrats edge out. There was just such a massive number of individuals that voted out. Even though the Democrats had more votes than they generally do in past elections, there were so many people that came out against them in the context of coronavirus shutdowns and much of the Second Amendment attack that had been at the hand of the Democrats in Virginia, these specific issues have caused a backlash, at least in this case, against Democrats. Now, does this mean that that's going to be a nationwide trend? Don't know. But it isn't something that can be totally and completely dismissed out of hand. I've got audio coming up of Ron DeSantis. He is the governor of Florida, and he has just had it with the media reporting on what has been going on in the state of Florida as if they are in a world of denial, which they are in a world of denial. Florida is the state that, particularly over spring break, people were just wringing their hands. The media, and you saw these videos going around. They were interviewing these young people that were coming from states oftentimes like New York, a hotbed for coronavirus, and they're going to spread it all through Florida. And, of course, we'd hear the demographics and how many elderly people who are particularly susceptible live in Florida and what on earth is going on with this governor. How is he allowing this to happen? This is madness. Well, Florida has ended up being one of the safest states to be in. Yet DeSantis is still dealing with reporters asking questions as if it's the most dangerous place. And now, when I say he loses it, he doesn't just go crazy and start ripping off his clothes or anything. But he just lets him have it. He's like, listen, you people, and gives a you people speech. Got that coming up next. I'm Nick Reed. Vice President Mike Pence been down in Florida. He and the governor went out to eat. So in other words, they were just assassinating untold numbers of people. And DeSantis is being peppered with questions from the media about, you know, data and basically everything in the context of how irresponsible it is for him to continue to allow certain things to happen in the state of Florida. And people going on beaches and spring break, of course, happened, all of this. It's just how horrible it is. It's awful. How could you do something like this?
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy. Wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Last question.
All right, so the governor there of Florida, and obviously he's frustrated that the biggest obstacle to any of this is for him, and he's not the only one, been the misinformation that is put out there. And all one would have to do is just poll Americans about response to this. Average Americans that consume news from late night talk shows and news outlets, the major news outlets. You see these polls, for example, that show Americans are just, you know, there's a huge approval of somebody like Governor Cuomo of New York. That's the place you're most likely to die from coronavirus. That's a place where the guy was forcing nursing homes, where the most vulnerable people are, to take on people with coronavirus. And you have these massive numbers of people dying because of it. Meanwhile, in Florida, for example, is one of the safest places. But I guarantee you, if you polled people about where, you know, who's doing a better job of handling the situation with coronavirus, you'd get a majority of people who consume their news from the major media outlets thinking that it's Cuomo in New York. And that Florida is some sort of train wreck that's going to kill us all. Now, of course, that is the opposite of reality. It's the complete opposite of reality. And it's not only people like DeSantis. Obviously, Trump is extremely frustrated with the way that the misinformation is being put out there. It is part of the reason why so many people, business owners included, are fighting back. You know what ultimately happened here? There was an agreement and there was a deal made, essentially, although there wasn't much choice in it, but people agreed, all right, we will comply. You say, here's why we're doing it. If we do this, this is what's going to happen. We're going to comply with it. But they found out that the government end of it, at least some people in government, didn't stick to their end of the bargain. And many people are beginning to recognize, whether it was intentional or not, the deal was based upon a false premise. There was this agreement, said, okay, we'll stay at home, we'll close down for a short period of time in order to flatten the curve and to make sure that hospitals don't get overwhelmed. And so when that didn't happen, people, all right, okay, fulfilled our end of the bargain. And then you have municipalities in some states saying, actually, no, 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 we've changed the conditions of the deal. And people go, no, wait a minute here. Much of the premise, of course, they bought into. They accepted the idea that if we don't shut down, horrible things will happen. But then they do see you have states like Florida, and there are many others, that didn't shut down in the way some of the others did. And it's actually safer than elsewhere. And so people go, now, wait a minute here. This isn't what you told us. It isn't so much that people are, you know, of course, it's absolutely not that people, you know, think, well, there's no such thing as coronavirus. That's not it. And it's not that people don't want to be safe. It's just that the people who are calling the shots have continually either been dishonest or continuing to be dishonest, many of them anyhow, or they've just been wrong at every turn. And normal thinking people see that, and you know, it's the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's why you have, like, up in Michigan, had all these individuals that they were decided out on the lawn of the Capitol to cut hair, raise money for some event or organization. And you got many of them are single moms being fined $1,000. They're taking precautions, you know, as best as you know, they're told to do when it comes to face masks and these sorts of things. But, you know, it has turned into I don't want to use off-color language this early in the morning, but it has become a contest of sorts. And you've got Whitmer up there in Michigan, for example, is digging her heels in and saying, hell or high water, I'm going to do whatever I want and screw the rest of you. I don't care if you're a single mom trying to feed your kids. You just want to be able to feed your own children. You're going to find $1,000. I don't care if you're some 77-year-old guy who just wants to, in as safe a manner as possible and following CDC guidelines, which seem to change every 6 weeks or so, you do absolutely everything you can possible in order to keep people safe, and you just simply want to be able to, you know, put food on your plate at night, have something to eat, I'll shut you down. Reasonable people see, but then they see what goes on in Florida. They're like, why can't... None of this is making sense. Here's Parker Padgett. He's got the latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk, 104.1. All right, Don Luzader, he's got news.
The Missouri Chamber.
What he does, he's a news guy.
I do,
news
you betcha.
I got the news.
Missouri Chamber of Commerce is urging Governor Parson to call a special session so lawmakers can take action to protect businesses from coronavirus-related lawsuits. In a letter to the Republican governor on Wednesday, the chamber called coronavirus liability an emerging problem in Missouri. The organization cites lawsuits involving those who believe they contracted the virus at a business. The chamber says under current state law, the lawsuits can move forward regardless of whether businesses were taking precautions aimed at limiting the spread of the virus. Silver Dollar City is reopening its campground with new safety guidance in place for campers just in time for the holiday weekend. Now, there is no word yet and no announcement of when Silver Dollar City itself, the Showboat Branson Bell, or Whitewater will reopen.
You know, the thing about it is as long as there are any social distancing guidelines or recommendations, they're probably not going to open. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. It would be tough because allow a certain number of people in.
Right. And given, I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but given the cost for entity, particularly Silver Dollar City, that's large, I would think that you have to have a packed park in order to come out ahead.
Right.
And so even if you're allowed to, but there's still these guidelines, you'd have to worry. And, you know, a little bit of this maybe kind of dovetails with the chamber story. Somebody filing a lawsuit if they get sick while at the park, or not that they'd even be able to prove it, but still, you have to worry about those things.
Now, let's see. The state guidelines, which are in some cases more strict than the local ones when it comes to occupancy limits. The governor's current order only goes through the end of this month, doesn't it? So he's going to have to update his order pretty soon. It'll be interesting to see what requirements the state orders have, because down around the Branson area or Taney County, they may have much looser guidelines. Right. But right now, the state guidelines supersede everything because they're more strict. So if they're not more strict, will some of these businesses be allowed to have more people in them?
Yeah.
Even the outdoor ones.
And I'm not an attorney, but I do know how we live in a litigious society. And I know how some people are and how some people think. I could imagine attorneys for some of these big entities saying whatever the strictest guidelines out there are, go by those.
Right.
Because even if the governor says this and Taney County says that, that somebody said, well, yeah, but the CDC said this, you know, and then, and so I could see it's just easier and safer.
Yeah.
If there's anyone out there saying not, then just don't do it.
Right.
I mean, I could just imagine it playing out that way.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I just want to ride my roller coasters.
I know.
Why is that so hard?
Oh, yeah. I love the roller coasters
yeah,
there.
Me too.
Those are fun.
Our 11-year-old just last year finally got to where she is into the roller coasters.
Ah.
She was like a lot of kids. I think most are this way. I know I was. You know, you're intimidated. And so they're the slower ones you start off. And I don't know how it was last year. We were there and somehow convinced her, probably lied to her about what it did, probably told her it didn't go upside down.
And then it went upside down.
Yeah. And I mean, it was like a flip switched. And the rest of the day, one roller coaster or the other, all day long until we ran out of time. And then the only one we didn't get to go on was Outlaw Run. We just didn't have time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that my wife was like, this is the happiest day of my life because we love roller coasters.
Right.
And we wanted her to really enjoy them.
Experience
it. Loves them.
Yeah.
And when, it's the most recent one. Time travel.
Time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, I thought, well, if there's any that'll be intimidating, she just wanted to ride it over and over and over again. And luckily, she's just tall enough to be able to do it now. So yeah. This season being delayed is particularly difficult for all of us.
So see, what happens to me is my wife drags me along, and I'm like, I don't know. And then I get on it, and I ride it, and I'm like, let's go again.
Right, yeah. Well, my stepdad, he'll ride everyone once, because a lot of times we'll go with my mom and stepdad. And but then he just, you know, he'll ride anyone once, but then after that, he's like, eh. So he holds the purses, and then for a while.
Someone's got to hold the purses.
Yeah, then for a while, our little one would stay with him. You know, they would stay and just hang out while we rode the roller coasters. But now he's back alone once again. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. All Missouri-made windows, an incredible upgrade to your home. It's one of the best things. I was, in fact, talking to Bob at St. Clair Friday. We went to lunch. And there was someone else that was there with us, one of our account executives that handles the account. And I was telling him just about my utilities and what a tremendous difference that has made getting those all Missouri-made windows. Depending on the windows you have now, you know, it's going to vary in difference. I had the sort of the metal pane single pane metal frame windows were with the original home late 70s as it was built. And going to the new, it has made just a fantastic difference. So I recommend it's something that you do check into with St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. There is a 20% chance of showers this afternoon, a high today of 74. Slight chance of showers, storms tonight, 60. Showers, thunderstorms likely early in the day tomorrow, high of 80. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and storms with a high of 83. It is 58 and cloudy here at the KSGF studios. There was a vote on the Homeland Security panel approving subpoenas to look into all of the jazz that went on with the Bidens and Burisma and Ukraine and all of this stuff. And there's two fronts to this. One is what's actually going on in Ukraine right now, and I'll talk about that in a second. I know Glenn Beck has talked about it extensively. But if you aren't aware of it, I'll fill you in. It includes audio. It's allegedly audio of Biden, you know, talking with folks in Ukraine specifically about, honestly, stuff we already know because he admitted to, and that is threatening to withhold U.S. dollars unless they fired their top prosecutor who was looking into Burisma, which, of course, his son was on the board of. So, on one hand, you think, well, all right, this is really groundbreaking. Here's the actual audio of him, one of the exchanges coming through where you've got Ukraine, the president of Ukraine saying, all right, we did what you wanted, and Biden saying, okay, we'll release the money now. And so that's pretty bombshell stuff regarding quid pro quo. But on the other hand, Biden admitted that he did it a couple years ago at an event. And so it isn't necessarily anything we don't know. But audio always adds a little intrigue and curiosity to it. So at the same time, you have the Homeland Security committee that Lindsey Graham had indicated this was a direction that we're going to go, start subpoenaing folks, sending out subpoenas on this. I believe there were a list of 53. Oh, wait, no, that was a different thing. Anyway, Kamala Harris is on this committee. And the Democrats are going nuts. So you're only supposed to investigate President Trump. We can have investigations into President Trump. Just nonstop, continual. In fact, I don't think there has been a single moment in which they did not have some sort of investigation going, whether it was an illegal clandestine one or one that was more out in the public that would lead to impeachment. It's nonstop. Now, all of a sudden, it's something that involves Joe Biden and his little boy there. It is just incredible how with such ease they shift from investigate, where that is all they are about nonstop 100% to you can't investigate. Oh, well. But you know, there's a coronavirus going on right now. Don't you understand? People are dying. This is what Kamala Harris had to say. By the way, Kamala Harris, who is continuing to audition for the vice presidential slot on the Joe Biden ticket.
There are literally matters of life and death waiting for our committee's attention. But instead, this committee is doing the president's personal bidding. Members of this committee, I urge you to vote against this political sideshow so that we can focus our attention on the pandemic that is threatening the lives and livelihood of the American people.
I don't know why I just can't stand to hear her voice. She's doing that smacking thing. So Kamala Harris auditioning for the vice presidency. Oh, wow. We can't have investigations going on while coronavirus. Now, a little bit of a reminder here. While the Trump administration was on top of the coronavirus issue back in January, Mike Pence even having press conferences, Democrats were downplaying it and instead pushing impeachment. This is the ridiculous nature of their assertions and the total and complete, suspension of any sort of intellectual approach. Just months ago, while coronavirus was beginning to really become a serious problem, we knew it because, again, the Trump administration was already addressing it, banning travel from China, among other things, while Democrats were out there pushing for more investigations, calling for more investigations, actively carrying out impeachment hearings. But now that there are subpoenas regarding Joe Biden's little boy, we can't do this. Some of Kamala Harris's other very important work is pushing legislation declaring, referring to the coronavirus as anything that indicates its origins, Wuhan flu or anything along those lines, as being hate speech. That is her contribution to the fight to save the world from the great pandemic. Here's Parker Padgett with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. China, one of their MOs is propaganda, extreme propaganda. And much, of course, of that is done internally, but externally as well. And the coronavirus has been a blow to the reputation that they have long tried to craft. So they began very early on a propaganda campaign that, among other things, at one point suggested our military created it. They're trying to deflect any and all connection to or responsibility for the outbreak away from the Chinese government, and aiming a lot of it towards the United States, largely because the United States was a country that was, well, we said, all right, no more travel from China, and we, you know, we did things based on the reality of the origins. We would later ban travel from Europe because what was happening is you had a lot of travel going from China to Europe and then from Europe to the United States. And so, we, you know, all right, we got to cut that off as well. One of the propaganda lines from the communist Chinese is that referencing its origin is racist. This is one of their talking points. And so referencing Wuhan or China in it is something that is racist and should be condemned. And so Kamala Harris and another Democrat congresswoman by the name of, or senator rather, Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, are introducing the Chinese propaganda legislation here in the United States and officially condemning it as racist. You have a gal who is auditioning for the vice presidential ticket. These two Democrats that are actually introducing legislation that is from the communist Chinese propaganda. The resolution introduced aims to, quote, condemn and denounce anti-Asian sentiment, racism, discrimination, and religious intolerance related to the coronavirus, and specifically cites phrases such as Wuhan virus and Chinese virus and Kung flu. It also calls on federal officials to expeditiously investigate and document credible reports of hate crimes or threats against the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities and investigate and prosecute perpetrators if necessary. At the same time, Kamala Harris, we played the audio earlier, was condemning an investigation into potential illegal activity regarding Burisma out of Ukraine, all because we need to be focusing on saving people's lives instead regarding the coronavirus, and this is her great contribution. Introducing legislation that is mimicking the propaganda from communist China. Sadly, that probably will help her move up the ranks in terms of the eventual picking of a vice presidential candidate by Joe Biden. All right, let's go to Marshall in Fairgrove. Marshall, welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that the Chinese have their tentacles and everything, even the Caribbean islands, which is ridiculous. I mean, they've built stadiums and everything. I think it was one of them was in St. Thomas. But long story short, the Chinese, if you just follow the money, just be like with the terrorists. They followed the money with the terrorists, find out where the terrorists are. Let's follow the money and find out what the betrayers of the American people are in the United States, including the media, especially the media. And on a different note, I've been thinking about the power of faith-based charities and how much they help in a huge way when societies have trouble, whether it's economic or unemployment whatsoever. They've been great about doing that, and they always volunteer to help, and they're just great people, great organizations. Yeah. However, we need to somehow unite those faith-based charities under one roof so that they can use their abilities to help those states that don't kill babies. I know that sounds a little extreme, but if they're going to have abortion in a state, then just say, okay, our faith base isn't going to work here because you're supporting abortion. We do not support that. We're going to go ahead and help this other state that has laws that forbid it. So that would give them a lot of power to help save lives, those little lives that don't have a voice for themselves. I hope that something like that could happen in the future. So that's what I wanted to call about this morning.
I appreciate it.
And just everybody needs to understand that when you're listening to that TV, you're not hearing the truth. You're just not, because the Chinese money pays them to say what they say. And it's not. They don't care about us, obviously,
because
they've lied to our faces again and again.
And the final point that you made there, which is, it's a really good one, and people hear it and they dismiss it because they think that, you know, the claim is, well, there are direct checks coming from. But here is the reality of what is happening. This is undeniable. These networks, they are corporations that have interest in China. And China has been very, very quick to damage the financial interests of these institutions. We have seen, well, Hollywood is a perfect example of this. But we've got to get a break in news. Marshall, thank you so much for the call. More on this ahead. I'm Nick Reed.